Me and James chapter 4 this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to James chapter 4. We're going to be looking just two verses, verses 11 and 12. James 4, 11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? The very first line of our text today, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. It's a very powerful statement, very, very potent in nature. It doesn't really need much commentary. Just think about the amount of ground that command covers. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers, brothers and sisters, brethren. So what exactly then does this command prohibit us from doing? I think that's the first thing we have to look at here. That phrase, speak evil against, comes from one word in the Greek, kataleleo, means to speak evil of, to say bad things against, to slander or to insult. Now it's important to be honest here. This is something we are all guilty of doing from time to time, at least from time to time. Some of you perhaps more than time to time. For some of you, maybe it's something that you do quite regularly, speak evil of people, right? And the thing about this speaking evil of people is that typically no one admits that they do this. This Greek word has a very broad meaning. It means slander, but it's not restricted to the term slander. And slander is when you spread false information about people to somebody else. But speaking evil of someone goes beyond slander, though certainly that's part of it, or slander falls into that category. So what happens is, especially with Christians, when we're guilty of speaking evil or negatively about a person, we usually sugarcoat our sin and we say, well, it's true. I'm just telling you the truth. Or I'm just saying. So please understand, when James says don't speak evil of one another, brothers, he's not limiting this to false information or slander. So you may speak negatively about someone, and the accusation that you bring about them might be completely 100% true, but you're sinning when you speak the truth in this case, when you speak evil of somebody. You've heard the expression probably from your mother or grandmother or somebody, you know, if you have nothing nice to say, then don't say anything at all, right? That's essentially what James is saying here. Maybe that's where that expression comes from. And I think this sin is far more widespread among Christians than we realize. And if we're honest, we commit this sin far more often than we'd like to admit. And I know I have. So then you may say, in response to this, how am I supposed to describe a bad person? Right? What do we say about a person when there's obviously something negative that happened, there's something negative about them, there's plenty of negative things to say about this or that person, and it's actually true? It's not false. The answer, really, the biblical answer is completely unsatisfactory to your flesh, and that is, you don't have to describe them at all. You don't have to say anything. In fact, you're commanded not to. You're commanded not to say anything, not to speak evil of somebody. And believe me, the world will go on without you saying negative things about people. And in fact, we'll all be better off because of it. Now think about it. What good ever comes out of speaking evil about someone, especially another brother or sister in Christ? What good comes about it when you complain about another Christian? How is anyone edified or benefited when you pull someone aside and, or message somebody or even post things on Facebook publicly, post the sins of people, talk about the sins of other people. What good comes from that? It's obviously nothing. The only thing that happens when we do that, when we speak evil of people, is that our flesh is satisfied. And the ears of those who hear the evil talk are tickled. Right? It feels good to talk bad about people sometimes, doesn't it? It feels good to vent, as we would say, vent how we feel. That's another term we use, really, to cover our sin. I'm just venting. No, you're just sinning. So be very mindful of our tongue. James is very adamant about this, about our sinning with our tongues. Be very careful. The power, Proverbs says, the power of life and death are in your tongue. Remember what he says in chapter 3, in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. You can absolutely destroy a person with your tongue, even when you say things about them that are true. The negative things you say about another person can spread like wildfire. As James mentioned before, it's like a forest is set ablaze by just a little fire. In our day, someone could flick a cigarette and the whole fire goes up. The whole forest goes up in flames. Your tongue is a fire. It's a world of unrighteousness. And you have really the power to set an entire congregation, entire church on fire with the negative things you say about someone, whether it's gossip, slander, evil talk. All those things can spread like wildfire in a church or a community. It's like gangrene, like cancer. And so you, as a Christian, you have the obligation to not only not speak evil about other people, but you have an obligation to put the fire out that other people may have started. Which means when someone starts spreading negative information about someone else, you as a Christian have the obligation before God to tell that person gently, lovingly, to stop and to not speak evil about other people. You have the obligation to put the fire out before it starts spreading. Just like you would probably be held liable if you saw a very dry forest and there's a little fire there and you do nothing to stop it, and before you know it the whole thing spreads, you would be held liable to some degree. So if someone speaks evil about other people in the form of gossip, in the form of slander, or all kinds of accusations against the person without them being there to defend themselves, without having gone to that person first in private, don't partake in their sin by giving them your ear. Now you're basically just as guilty as them. And how easily we ignore the scriptures when it comes to this matter. It's all too easy to listen to negative talk, listen to the gossip of others, and revel in it. We love to hear dirt on people. That's what our flesh loves to hear, especially when it comes to people we don't like, right? We like to hear some dirt about them. The first part of verse 11 there really speaks for itself. Don't say bad things about each other, plain and simple. This is something really a small child can comprehend. And if you can remember really just one thing from this message, just remember that verse. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Now, is there ever a time and place to say anything negative at all about somebody? Yes, under certain circumstances there are. So when is it not sinful, and we could even say that, when is it wise or when is it good to say something negative about another person? And when I say something negative, I'm saying this is a different category than speaking evil of somebody, but something negative. Well, really, one of the only times we're supposed to say something negative or talk about the sins of another Christian is really only in the case of church discipline. What Jesus talks about in Matthew 18 says, if your brother sins against you, Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. That's the first step. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. And now you're getting other people involved here. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be as to you, a Gentile and a tax collector. Now it's important to notice that before you go and tell anyone about the sins of another Christian, you have to address the person individually first. If you're going to address this at all, you got to go to them first. If you just go ahead and start telling people in the church about the sins of someone or the faults of someone, before you go to them first, then you're just gossiping and perhaps slandering, and you're speaking evil of that person. But if it turns out you address the person privately and they don't repent, this is a matter of they're in sin, and they don't repent, and you have to get others involved in the process, that does not fall into the category of speaking evil against another brother or sister. And while it may seem like a negative thing to do, it's not, even though it's definitely unpleasant for us to, as Christians, to enforce church discipline, it's not a negative thing, it's a good thing. And the reason why is because church discipline, which may involve telling the sins of an unrepentant professing Christian to the church, it's not speaking evil because, first and foremost, Jesus commanded us to do it. And secondly, it's because the motivation behind the announcing of that person's sin to the congregation is to ultimately restore them to Christ and to fellowship with the body once again. If you partake in speaking evil of a person, you do so without any good intentions at all. There's zero benefit to the soul of the person who's being spoken about. There's zero benefit to the ones who hear about it. Speaking evil about someone only serves to tear them down. It doesn't build them up. And there's nothing positive that comes from speaking evil, but there's tremendous good that comes from biblical church discipline. Another possible scenario where we may have to say negative things about a person is when we need to warn somebody, warn other people. Now, there are restrictions that apply to this. You can't use this as a license to speak ill of someone else. Don't say, well, I'm just warning you, and then proceed to unleash a string of insults and complaints and gossip about another Christian. We can't use this as a license to sin. And of course, again, this should only be done after having talked with the person privately regarding their sin or their fault. Also, if there's a need for warning, we must be sure to include as little negative details as possible so as not to tear that person down, not to assassinate their character. Some examples of this are found in 2 Timothy, where Paul says in chapter 4 that Alexander the coppersmith, he said, did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Right? He was saying something negative. This guy, Alexander the coppersmith, was a harmful man. He opposed our message. Watch out. And this man was not a believer. Right? He opposed the gospel. But Paul, even so, kept the details minute and simple. There's no need to tell all the juicy details of what this guy did. Just watch out for him. He opposed our message. Also, Paul warned specifically against false teachers. Right? He says in 2 Timothy 2, avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more ungodliness. Their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. Right? So false teacher. And then also Demas, he says, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me, gone to Thessalonica. Those are some negative things. And Paul likely mentions the names of these men and briefly mentions their sins or their false doctrine also to serve as a warning for other people. Which is why it's not wrong, but it's actually wise, I think, for pastors at times to name names of false teachers and tell people as a warning why they're false, what doctrine they hold to that could lead the sheep astray. Like he said, that Hymenaeus and Philetus They are saying that the resurrection already happened. Okay, so these are negative things. He's not going to say, you can't warn somebody by just not saying anything about the person that you need to watch out for. So really, there's only a few instances where we have permission and it's actually good to say something negative about somebody, typically to warn them. But we must be very careful not to use that as a license to just say whatever we want about the person. Now getting back to what Jesus said in Matthew 18, the idea that if someone sins against you or somebody's in sin, you go to them privately first. That is really essential to avoid being sinfully and hypocritically judgmental. Now, as you're probably well aware, one of the most twisted commands in all of Scripture by non-Christians and Christians alike is that phrase, judge not. And also, even what James says in verse 12 here, who are you to judge? You hear that a lot. When someone says to you, don't judge, it's wrong to judge, guess what they're doing to you? They're actually judging you. When people don't like what you're saying because they know they're wrong, if you present them with some kind of truth, they often will reply with, don't judge me. Right? That's twisting Scripture. So you're really being like Satan when you do that. But really, all the commands in Scripture about not judging are referring to hypocritical judging. Everybody makes judgments. You decide what's right, you decide what's wrong. Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So there's a warning associated with judging that you must do it in a way that it's not hypocritical. So if I tell you, you know, to not partake in a certain sin, you know, or if I say you have an anger problem and yet I'm losing my temper at the same time, I'm being a hypocrite, right? That's fault. That's sinful judging. So the time when we're not supposed to judge is if we're partaking in the sin, we're judging other people for partaking in. So this does not mean that we just kind of ignore all sin and walk around and say, well, who am I to judge? Don't judge. We just bury our heads in the sand. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 that we're to judge those, we're actually supposed to judge those inside the church. That means if you find another Christian, if you find that another Christian's in sin, right, some serious sin, and you are to judge righteously and confront that person in love. And that is a form of righteous judgment. But sinful judgment comes in the form of speaking evil about another brother or sister. This is not the type of judging we are to be doing. So speaking evil of another brother or sister in Christ is really a form of sinful judging. James says when we speak evil, when we sinfully judge another Christian, we're actually speaking evil against the law of God itself. Look at verse 11, the second sentence. He says, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. So speaking evil, sinfully judging another Christian, essentially means you're saying, I have determined the truth about so-and-so, and that person is, you name it, they're a liar, they're phony, they're lazy, they're annoying, whatever. I have determined the truth about them. And so you're saying, I know better than the law of God. I don't have to obey the word of God that says I must go to my brother in private first. I am the judge, and I have figured out and declared what the problem is with my fellow Christian, and I will pronounce their guilt. See, part of the job of a judge, at least in biblical times, was to figure out what exactly was going on. Right? You had to hear the evidence, you had to decide if the person is guilty or not, and then you carry out the sentence based upon the law. In our day, we have a jury system, right? Similar idea. But they have to figure out, is this what really happened? That's what part of judgment is. So when you badmouth another Christian, you're essentially saying that God's law is worthless. I don't need it. There's no need for it. And so you then become a law unto yourself. And so you're acting as though you're above the law. I'm going to try to attempt to illustrate this point, because the wording here is a little tricky. I'm trying to simplify this to a modern day example. You're probably all aware of those abominable things we have on Long Island called red light cameras. Anyone ever get one of those tickets? I think I've gotten about 5 of them. Interestingly enough, those red light cameras are completely unconstitutional. And the reason is because people are assumed guilty and they cannot be proven innocent. They won't even let you take it to court. It's got you on camera, there's no fighting it, even if you're not driving the car. In our country, it's supposed to be you're innocent until proven guilty. And that's not the case with these cameras they put up. You're guilty from the start, and there's no changing it. And as a result, there's no due process, which is a constitutional thing. You have the right to due process, right? So when you don't have that, it's unconstitutional. And by the way, you don't have to pay. Here's a freebie. You don't have to pay those red light tickets. I have like 5 of them. There's nothing they can do. It's wonderful. Look it up for yourself. So basically, those red light cameras are acting like judges. They're like judges unto themselves. And they're essentially saying that the laws of the United States are no good. We, the cameras, are above the law. We have the wisdom and authority to make judgments. This is what cameras would say if they could speak. So when you sinfully judge or speak evil of another person, in essence, you're saying, I have the authority and wisdom to determine other people's sins and faults. I don't need God's law. I especially don't need to follow the law that says, love your neighbor as yourself. I will be the judge. And that is pride. And ultimately, what it boils down to is blasphemy, as we'll see. It's also hypocritical, because in your attempt to be the judge, you have become the lawbreaker. You cast judgment. You speak evil against another Christian. You've blatantly disregarded to love them and to go to them privately if you have to, as Jesus commanded. And that's why James says in verse 11 in the last part, but if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. All right? As Christians, we're to be doers of the law of God, doers of the word. When you speak evil of someone, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. You're elevating yourself to a place where you have no right to be. And that's why in the previous verse, there in verse 10, he says to humble yourself. If you humble yourself, then you can avoid speaking evil of other people. Because humility says, I will not speak evil of another. I will not judge unrighteously because I am no better than they are. I am a poor, sinful beggar in need of God's grace. And so I will not slander, I will not gossip, I will not insult anyone else who happens to sin differently than I do. And I too will show them the love and grace that I need and that I have also been given, and I will not tolerate it when others engage in speaking of evil. And instead of speaking evil about my brothers and sisters, I will say nothing at all. Or if need be, I will talk to them privately about their sin or whatever issue there is. Titus 3, Paul uses similar language here. He says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. He says, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Why? For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So you see, when you speak evil of someone, you're essentially saying, I am better than them. And I'm glad I'm not like them. I can't believe they act that way. I'm so thankful that I don't sin in the same way. So you are essentially like a Pharisee. Remember the Pharisee who said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like those sinners, those tax collectors. Thank you. It's pharisaical. So when you speak evil of others, you have cast aside and have forgotten that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of grace, that if it weren't for the grace of God, you would still be dead in your sin, and you would be far worse than the brother or sister that you complain about and that you speak ill of. So you must first humbly reflect upon and admit that if it weren't for the grace of God, you would still be all those things that Paul mentioned in Titus 3. You would still be foolish, disobedient, led astray, slave to sin, passing your days in malice and envy and hating one another and hated by others. If it weren't for the grace of God, you'd still be like that. Or perhaps you still are, and if so, you're in need of grace. And I urge you to repent and believe in Christ. So really, the only difference between you and that person you speak evil about is grace. And until you humble yourself and understand that, you will never understand why we should not speak evil of one another. So if you believe you're saved simply because you made a better decision than someone else, or you're so Christ-like because you're so smart, then by all means, boast away and speak as much evil as you want against all those dumb people who have not made as smart decisions as you. Understanding the grace of God in both salvation and in sanctification is really what sheds light on the importance of refraining from speaking sinfully about one another. So the grace of God is really the logic behind this command. It's what makes it make sense to not speak evil about one another. It wouldn't make any sense if there was no grace involved. Speaking evil about others is utterly contrary to the gospel. Jesus, the one who had every right to condemn and to judge, said in John 3, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Jesus came not to judge and to speak evil of others in the negative sense of judging. And it seems many Christians are interested more in condemning other people than saving them. Many, it seems, are more interested in complaining about other Christians than they are in praying for them and helping them where they fall short. Speaking evil about one another is a total insult to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news. Speaking evil of others is the opposite of that. It's bad news. So if you claim to believe in the gospel, you better put your money where your mouth is. Literally. Can you bridle your tongue when it comes to speaking about other people? If not, perhaps you've never really repented and you've never really believed this gospel you claim to know. Because the gospel does not give you a right to say bad things about one another, even if those things are true. Jesus never spoke about people the way many of us do. He would never condemn and mock and complain and slander or gossip about anyone. Even with regards to the people that arrested him and beat him and nailed him to the cross, what did he say to them? He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Speaking evil against each other, especially other Christians who have been bought with the blood of Christ, is a great affront to the gospel. And even further, it's an attack upon God himself, who alone is the great judge of all the earth. Verse 12. "There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" What it comes down to is this: God is the judge, and you are not. And there are basically three main things we could take away from that truth. First, if there's any conflict between brethren, rather than speaking evil about one another, know that God will have the final say. He will be the final arbiter. Learn from David, King David, in 1 Samuel 24. David was on the run from King Saul, right? Saul wanted him dead. He wanted to kill him. And one day when David and his men were hiding in a cave, while they were in there, Saul walks in to use the bathroom, if we could call it that, facilities. And while Saul's doing his business, David snuck up behind him, King Dave, no one's ever called him that, I don't think. David snuck up to him, right, and cut off a piece of his robe. And he even felt guilty about doing that, because he said, "I'm not going to lay a hand on the Lord's anointed." But he cut a piece of his robe, and he forbid his men to attack Saul. He could have killed him right then and there. This is the man who wanted David dead, and David didn't do anything to hurt him. And it says in verse 8 of 1 Samuel 24, "Afterward, David also arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul. He said, 'My lord, the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, "Behold, David seeks your harm"? Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, "I will not put my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." Against my Lord, he is the Lord's anointed. "See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it." He says, "May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you. But my hand shall not be against you." David knew God was the judge. He refused to lay a hand on Saul. He said, "Let the Lord judge between me and you." When you understand that God is a righteous judge, and as Abraham said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" When you understand that there's no need, when you understand that, then you understand that there's no need to speak evil of another brother, even if they sinned against you, even if they've hurt you. We do what we can when the time comes to guide our brothers and sisters back if they're wandering, if they're in sin. But sometimes, if there's conflict, you just have to say, "Let the Lord be the judge of me and you." And so it's very liberating and comforting to know that one day all the wrongs will be made right. And so there's no need for us to badmouth one another. God's the judge of all the earth, and the judge of all the earth shall do right. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So don't take vengeance on one another with your tongue. Leave that to God. Secondly, when we understand that God is a righteous judge, this should serve as a warning for us. That as James says, that God is able to save, but he's also able to destroy. John Gill, pastor from 1700, said, "God is the lawgiver. God the lawgiver is sovereign and can destroy or save whom he pleases. He is able to save the brother that is spoken against and to destroy him that speaks against him." So when we speak about another person, evil, we speak evil of another person. Well, let me back up a little. When we speak about a person in general, you should do so with fear and trembling and be very cautious about what you're saying. Always check yourself. Ask yourself in your head, "Am I speaking evil of this person with what I'm saying about them?" Remember, you're talking about a person made in the image and likeness of God himself. And out of your tongue, which you use on Sunday mornings to praise the Lord, hopefully more than that, you better not use it also to speak evil of a brother or sister or anybody. Because God is a holy, righteous judge, this should cause us to be humble and be very careful in the way that we talk about other people. Thirdly, knowing God is the judge should immediately put us in our place. James says, "Who are you to judge your neighbor?" So if God is the judge, you are not. And as a result, you have to refrain from speaking evil about your neighbor, even if what you want to say is true. God is the judge, you're not. Paul says in Romans 14:4, "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another?" When you speak evil of others, you're elevating yourself to the place of God. That's ultimately what it comes down to. And both James and Paul basically say, "Who do you think you are?" God is a judge. God will have the final say. In the meantime, know that you are just a pitiful slave and should be seeking to obey your master. And you have no right to speak evil of another person. God is a judge of the earth, and he shall do right. In this section, in chapter 4, 1 through 12 there, or the main theme here, one of the main themes here is unity within the body of Christ and peace. And he talks about the quarreling and fighting, right? That's the opposite of peace. There's disruption, there's disunity. That the quarreling, the fighting arises in the church because people covet, right? And they're in the midst of this love affair with the world. They're earthly minded, they're envious of one another, and they fight each other. And for there to be unity and love in the body of Christ, there has to be humility, there has to be repentance from worldliness, and a love for Christ above all else. And the way that unity and love is maintained, so after the repentance of this worldliness and turning back to God, where he says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. That unity and peace is maintained and kept in the church when we continue to refrain from speaking evil against one another. That's how we prevent more quarrels and fights among the brethren. So first there's that turning from the love of the world back to Christ, and then maintaining that through not speaking evil of one another. So when we deny what our flesh wants, when we deny what our tongue so desperately wants to say and get out, and we say, no, I will not speak evil of my neighbor. I will not speak evil of my brother or sister in Christ, even if it's true. So may Christ, the holy, righteous judge of the earth, be honored and glorified in our midst here through the taming of our tongues by his grace, and may we truly not speak evil of one another. Let's pray. Psalm 39 says, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. Lord, teach us to guard our ways, and may we not sin with our tongue. When we are tempted to speak evil of one another, may we put a muzzle on our tongue and refrain, and know that you are God, that you are the judge. And may we love one another and pray for one another rather than complain or slander or gossip, that Christ would be edified, may be glorified in our lives. And for his sake and in his name we pray. Amen.